tonight I was preparing today, and I'm going to do something that's a little bit different in this meeting tonight. I was given like a bit of a framework, a couple of texts to look at, and I was doing some preparation around that. But this morning I felt a really strong prophetic sense come upon my heart, and I really feel that tonight I just need to speak really simply, really succinctly, all based on just a simple phrase and a promise that I believe comes from heaven. And that this simple phrase, this simple promise is this: you don't have to worry, things will be okay. You don't have to worry, things will be okay. I think all of us would agree that we live in some interesting times. Interesting is church speak for uncertain. You know, like kind of, what was that pastor like? Oh, he was interesting. And we live in uncertain times. Anyone who has read a newspaper in the last week or has been watching any kind of news over the last 24 hours, has reflected upon life over the last couple of weeks, would have to acknowledge that we live in fascinating, interesting, uncertain times. And uncertainty often breeds worry, and worry often fills our hearts. And it's important for us, dare I say imperative for us as a faith community, to process through this reality of worry. And I just really believe that after all is said and after everything is done here tonight, more will be done than actually said by the Holy Spirit himself. And that we would leave this place buoyed in our soul, full of confidence in our spirit, that we don't have to worry. Things will be all right. Let me pray and we'll jump into this. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together here on this cold night. We thank you, God, for warmth here in this room. And we thank you for the chance to experience your presence, to meet with you and to know that you long to meet with us. So we open up our ears to hear, our hands to receive, our eyes to see, our minds to even perceive what you have for us here this evening. Holy Spirit, we clear the way. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't worry. It'll be okay. I've got to be honest with you. I come across as a relatively loud, gregarious, confident guy, but I worry about stuff. I wouldn't consider myself someone who is like systemically worrying, but I am well aware of that routine and that pattern of worrying, of stressing about stuff. I worry about money stuff. I worry about making ends meet. I worry about how things seem more expensive than they used to, and dollars don't hang around quite as long as they used to. I worry about money stuff. I worry about my family. I travel for a living. On my business card, it says Gospel Ninja. It means that I wander around this blue rock that God made and I can talk about Jesus for a living. And even though I try to maintain a disciplined schedule, I do find myself away a lot of the year. And when I'm away, I worry about stuff. I worry about my wife, and I hope that she feels loved and connected with her husband, even though her husband finds herself FaceTiming all too often. I worry about my kids. I worry about finding myself in a situation down the track where I'm having a conversation with my children. I'm apologizing to them for being away when they were a kid, and I worry about that kind of stuff. I worry about my kids because they're growing up way too quick. If anyone has like worked out a potion to keep a little girl forever, come and see me. I will give you everything that I own for that potion because my children are growing up way too quick. This is the first time I've ever been at Bayside without my daughter because she's on her first ever youth camp as a youth group girl this weekend. And I worry about the fact that my children are growing up way too quick. I worry about the day that my little girl comes and sees me and she brings in tow with her a young man. I worry for that young man. I worry about the country that I live in and societal shifts I worry about the world that we live in and how unsafe it sometimes feels. I don't know about you, but I worry about things. What do you worry about? Do you worry about money stuff as well? How do you make ends meet when it feels like the ends are running away from one another? Do you worry about employment stuff, your job situation? It felt like maybe one or two generations ago you could get into a job and it would be relatively secure, but right now it feels like every single year you hold your breath just wondering if that job's going to be there for you again next year. Do you worry about employment and job stuff? Do you worry about your business? It felt like a great idea when you were going into it. The kind of numbers added up. It felt like this was just, you know, you're onto a winner. But as it's unfolded, you found a few more complications than you thought you'd find. And now you're kind of worried about your business and whether it will be able to keep its head above water. And you find yourself worrying a lot about business stuff. Do you worry about your singleness? There are some people here in this room who are doing everything right by the book. Like, honey, you're staying pure, you're staying holy, you're right, reading all those books from Kurong about singleness, you're like kind of dating Jesus in the meantime, kind of, and you're doing everything right, but kind of you find yourself again and again on a Saturday night after church, scratching your head, wondering, where is that individual who's going to come along and complete me? And we kind of laugh about it here right now, but some won't be laughing later on as they ponder, hey, is there someone actually out there for me? And will I find that individual? And you find yourself worrying about your singleness. There are some married people here in this room who wish they were single again, and you're worried about your marriage stuff. And you don't talk about it often. You definitely don't talk about it publicly, but you know that you've hit some pretty rough waters in that relationship, and you're worried about where these rough waters will lead. There are so many things that we find ourselves worrying about at a personal level. How about just general uncertainty? Come on, do you worry about that? Right now, we find ourselves in the midst of a federal election, and there are a couple of parties who are vying for your love and your affection and your attention, and on July the 2nd, your vote. But unfortunately, the manner in which they garner that vote is by trying to create as much worry as possible and letting you know that they are the solution to that worry. One side is going to tell you that you're at risk in this area. The other side will tell you you're at risk in this area. But the sum result is just a whole bunch of people who find themselves really worried about stuff happening in our nation federally. And I know that for many people here in this room, as you've heard the banter over the last couple of weeks, it's left you not optimistic about the way forward. You worry about federal stuff. Over the last 24 hours, the UK left the European Union, and something called a Brexit just, you know, occurred. And I know that half of you guys Googled Brexit in the last 24 hours because you had no idea what a Brexit was, and you thought it was some kind of like South African biscuit, but now you're kind of going, wow, I'm a little bit worried because some pundits would say that this is the end of the world as we know it. Like, the sky is going to cave in, dogs will rise up on their hind legs and start walking around, the apes are taking it up. Like, seriously, if you read some of the stuff that's floating around the internet, it's cause for a lot of worry. And I know there are some people here in this room from a geopolitical, from a macroeconomical point of view, you find yourself really worried about what's happening in the world right now. What do you worry about? Well, the reality is, if you find yourself worrying about something consistently, continually, you're not alone. Because I would propose to you that as human beings, in some way, shape, or form, we all worry about something. And so the question isn't, what do you worry about? The real question is, how do you deal with that worry? Do you anesthetize yourself from reality? Do you run as hard as you can away from the problems and the pain, hoping that problem and that pain will give up the chase? Do you try to numb the pain through some kind of substance or some kind of drink or some kind of pursuit or some kind of pleasure? Well, what do you do? Trying to deal with that worry is the real question. And it's an important question to ask, and it's an important question to wrestle with, because the manner in which we deal with our worry will dictate what happens to that worry down the track. It will determine whether or not this worry pulls us under and drowns our soul And it can also determine whether or not we grow bigger and stronger and more faith-filled through the ordeal. Whether you worry or not is not the question. The question is, how do you deal with that worry? And I want to suggest to you, you don't get a chance to choose whether or not you deal with that worry or not. It's just, how do you deal with that worry? And in my life, whenever I find myself at a precipice or at a crossroads, I love going to the Bible and finding the words of Jesus especially, because I find that Jesus's dulcet tones always seem to settle my soul. And so what I did this morning is I went to the Bible and I tried to find some different times in the Gospels where Jesus spoke directly to this issue of worry. I wanted to do more than just do a theological summary on Jesus' take on worry. No, I wanted to hear his heartbeat. I wanted to sense his spirit as he speaks into a situation that many of us here in this room wrestle with consistently. And there's a beautiful passage found in the book of Matthew. If you have your Bibles, could you go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6? Matthew chapter 6 is first found between Matthew chapter 25 and Matthew chapter 7. I'm really, really good with my theology. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through to 34. And this is Jesus talking about worry. Come on, we need to learn how to deal with worry, because worry, undealt with, becomes damaging. It damages our joy. It damages even physically our health. It damages our relationships. It damages our optimism. It damages eventually our soul and everything about us. Let's press into the words of Jesus tonight as he whispers lovingly and authoritatively into our being. Hey, don't worry. Things will be okay. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, Jesus says, "That is why I tell you, don't worry so much about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are?" Or in other words, he's saying, you know what? I know it's really easy to get overwhelmed by all the details in life. It feels like at every single twist and in every single corner, there's something else to vie for your attention and to sap you of energy. And I understand how exhausting it is when you ponder upon all the different things that are going on in your life, both locally and globally, both within your control and both outside of your control. I get it. There are so many things going on in life. But don't worry so much about that stuff. He says, look at the birds. Tweet, tweet, tweet. That bird just seems so peaceful. That bird just seems so content. And the reason that bird is peaceful and content is because that bird is looked after by God. You may miss it. You may not understand it. You may not be able to wrap your mind around that concept. But Jesus would say that even that little bird is not overlooked by God. It is covered by God. It is fed by God. It is kept by God. And then he juxtaposes the worth of a little bird sold 2 for a penny in the market and your soul. He says, if he would look after a little bird like that, how much more will he look after you, made in his image, worth the blood of Jesus on a cross? He's saying, you know what? I know it's easy to get overwhelmed by all the details, but Jesus takes care of the finest details. Jesus will take care of you. In verse 27, he says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Or in other words, he's saying, worry is not only unproductive, it's destructive. Many of us worry because somehow instinctively we think that worry is going to help us. If we think about the issue, if we stress about an issue, if we ponder so long that we develop creases in our forehead about an issue, somehow all of that thinking, all of that mental energy has got to help in some way, shape, or form, doesn't it? Jesus says, no, you can worry for the rest of your life and you won't add one moment to your life. The irony is you actually lose your life trying to work out life for yourself? Can any of you add a single moment or a single hour to your life by worrying? He goes on in verse 28, and why worry so much about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so much and so wonderfully for these wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? We get so disproportionately worked up over things because somehow we think that, you know what? Not only does God not see the minute details, but even if he was to look after me, he'd only give me the bare minimum. Like he's kind of a God who's in control, but he really is a God who gives just the leftovers. And Jesus says nothing could be further from the truth because he says, look at the lilies of the field. These little flowers that you pass by on your walk to church today, did you see one of these little lilies? You might have even missed them, but if you look closely at a lily, even one of these little lilies are adorned in a more beautiful garb than Solomon in his greatest robe. And if that is how God is going to clothe the little lily of the field that is here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, how much more will he take care of you? How much more, come on, will he show himself to be a God of more than enough? How much more will he prove that he's actually the generous, heavenly, loving Father that he says he is? You see, if he would clothe a little lily like that, how much more will he take care of you? And then he goes on to say, in verse 31, so don't worry so much about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. He's saying, hey, you know what? So therefore, don't stress so much. Don't get so stressed about all the details in life, and don't get so overwhelmed by all of the things that seem out of your control, that fly around your radar, seemingly totally out of your control. Don't get so overwhelmed with that. Because people who get overwhelmed with that are the kinds of people who don't understand that God is like a heavenly Father. I get it. If God is some kind of nonchalant, apathetic deity that wakes up on the good side of the bed or the wrong side of the bed, and depending on his temper any given day, you can either be smited or blessed. Hey, I get it. It's okay to live your life marked by fear, wrapped up by insecurity. I get that, but God is not like that. He's a heavenly Father who knows you, who loves you, who gets you, who when he looks at you, he sees someone that he made in his image and you're precious to him. And he not only knows how to look after you, he delights in looking after you. And then he kind of brings this little message like to a conclusion. I can just imagine the Apostle Peter sneaking onto the keyboard, beginning to play like a minor key that makes everyone feel like kind of emotional and receptive to the response time. And like basically he says, so therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. In my last 15 minutes with you, I just want to focus in on those last two verses. As Jesus pastorally and practically breaks down some productive responses to the worries that all too often wash up against the shores of our souls. And I would love to go beyond just suggesting that here are a few tips and techniques that we can employ trying to deal with worry, but I would suggest to you that as we partner with the Holy Spirit, as he works in our heart, I believe that this could actually, come on, bring a whole new way of living for some people here in this room who know what it's like to be encumbered by and even crippled by, come on, worry. Jesus would say, so therefore, in the light of all of the things that rob you of your joy, wreck your sleep, steal your peace, put your relationships under stress and strain, in the light of all the uncertainty, both in your nation and around the nations of this world, I get it, but seek first the kingdom of God. Live righteously. And then all these things get added to you. Hey, don't worry so much about tomorrow. Don't worry. There's enough troubles there. You'll meet them when you get there. There is trouble today. Just deal with that. I'm just going to make a couple of points. If you're writing down notes, I say this all the time, you can pull out your leather-bound journals. I feel that the Bayside area would be a place where there's a lot of leather-bound journals. But one of my mentors always tells me that a blunt pencil is more effective than a sharp mind in remembering the things that God whispers to you about. So if you're jotting down notes, now's the time to pull out that leather-bound journal. I always say it, iPhones, iPods, iPads, any Apple product, you can pull that out and thank the Lord Jesus for Steve Jobs as you do so, because that's a wonderful piece of technology that you have there. Kind of Android, BlackBerry devices, you can put that away. I have nothing for you from this point on. You may as well just switch off. I just want to just reflect in on these words that I believe. Come on, Jesus, the ultimate practical pastor, would speak to us when we find ourselves wrestling with joy-sapping, life-stealing worry. The first thing he says to us is, seek first the kingdom of God. Or in other words, number one, refocus your attention on God. I know that lack seems pressing, and I know it feels like there's not enough to go around. But don't focus on the lack, refocus on God. Hey, I know that business has been tough and those phones haven't been ringing off the hook for quite a while now. And I know that those bills are coming and that rent needs to be paid. We get that. But even in the midst of that trial, hey, come on, refocus your attention on God. Hey, I know that it's scary thinking about, you know, retirement and going forward and policy changes and whether or not you'll have enough. I know all of these things create fear in your heart. I get that. We're not discounting the reality of your problem. We're just trying to remind ourselves that in the midst of that problem, we have an opportunity to refocus, come on, our eyes back onto the goodness and the greatness of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. I think Jesus would propose here that worry isn't fundamentally a fear issue, but a focus issue. I'll say that again. I think Jesus here is suggesting that worry and stress and anxiety isn't fundamentally a fear issue. Something that is kind of, you know, threatening us, something that is amiss, something that is wrong. No, it is not fundamentally an issue regarding that fear. It is fundamentally, come on, a focus issue where your eyes are averted to. And here Jesus is making it clear. No matter what comes up in life, if you focus in on it, that will become the center of your attention. And that center of your attention is anything but the greatness and the goodness and the power and the majesty and the provision of God. Worry will be the natural result. But in the midst of that, don't get down on yourself. Just find yourself acknowledging, hey, you know what? 'Tis human to worry. But by the grace of God and through His Spirit, in the middle of my worry, I can still refocus, come on, my attention on God. Because worry is not fundamentally a fear issue. It is a focus issue. One of my favorite stories in all of the Gospels is the story of Jesus hanging out with His boys in the middle of the lake when the storm was blowing hard. And you'll see one of the records of this in Matthew chapter 14. And I love how Matthew is writing this the nuances. They're going, hey, we're in the boat, and we were all freaking out. We've all been raised on this sea, and we'd seen storms before, but this was the big one. We all thought we were going under. We were all stressed. And like we were saying our final goodbyes, getting like kind of our wills in order, like hugging each other, go, I love you, man. No, I love you, man. No, I love you, man. Fisty bumps, like we were ready to go down. Because the wind was blowing, the waves were buffeting. Matthew even records that they were a distance from the shore. In other words, if this thing goes down, we couldn't swim for it. We were goners. And in the middle of that, Jesus came out onto the water, just chilling, just walking out on the water, just whistling maybe. Like kind of the way that the story is told, he's like nonchalantly walking by. The disciples see him, yell out to him, and here's Matthew recording. And then Pete said to him, yo, Jesus, we freaking out in the boat here. And even though that the storms are scary and the sea is terrifying, I'm surmising that it's safer to be out there in the storm with you than in the boat with these boys. So, hey, I love you boys, but Jesus, can I come with you? And then Jesus says, come. And the Bible makes it very clear. Jesus gets out of the boat in the midst of the waves, being buffeted by the storm, being drenched by the rain, but focused on Jesus, he starts walking out on the water in through the fear. But then what happens? The focus is broken, and his attention is averted to the waves that surround, to the depth of that ocean, to the precarious situation he was in, and what would be, he began to sink. I believe that there is something prophetic in that for all of us. Hey, we are all knit together by this common thread. It doesn't matter if you're gifted. It doesn't matter if you're strong. It doesn't matter if you're resilient. All of us are knit together by this common thread. We are all prone to worry because this side of eternity, my friends, is marked by uncertainty, and uncertainty naturally breeds worry. We are all together in this same boat. But we all get the opportunity in the midst of our worry, in the midst of our fear, as we're being strangled by anxiety, to lift our eyes afresh and anew and see the Savior who has come. And to refocus on the God who is over the wind, who is over the waves, who is the inventor of that ocean, who is the keeper of life. The first thing, not you, the first thing I must do when I find myself sitting in my couch of worry, scratching my head, going, wonder where to from here, is to open up my eyes and to refocus on the God who was not left, who was not forsaken, who was as faithful and as great as he has ever been. Jesus lovingly and pastorally smiles and says, the first thing you do is refocus your attention on God. The worry in your life is not the product of the fears that surround, it's the focus that's been lost. And you can find yourself in the most petrifying of situations, but if you have your eyes on the right things, you breathe another day, you take another step, and hope and confidence will fill your heart. Amen? Refocus your attention on God. And the second thing he says is rest. Struggle, strive, no, rest. Hustle, work hard, no, rest in his promises. Rest in his promises. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all of these things, or in other words, everything that pertains to life, all the things that you really need at the end of the day to not only get from point A through to point B, but to live a life that glorifies God, to live a life to the full, all of these things will be added to you. The next thing that Jesus says is rest in his promises. Now, that's something that I wrestle with myself. I think intuitively, when I find myself in a situation where I'm being overwhelmed by things seemingly outside of my control, my gut reaction is to work harder until everything gets within my control. And when I control it, I'll sort it. That life is something which I can overcome, and I can dominate in my own strength and with my wisdom or with my skills, with my words, even my vocabulary, I can do enough to kind of keep it all under control. But Jesus says, you know, life sometimes feels outside of your control because it is outside of your control. But here's the good news. Life wasn't meant to be just what you could make of it, but life was meant to be finding yourself in a place, in a space where you rest in relationship with a Father who loves you and has all and makes it for you. And that's why he says, after you refocus your attention on God, let God supply everything that you need. And if you actually paid attention to the few verses prior to that statement, like Jesus in a court of law, at the very least, like in a university debate, he actually builds a case and he uses a couple of examples. He's saying, you know what? Let me show you exhibit A, the birds of the air. Tweeting in the corner, you pay it no mind. Even a beggar who has to offer something as a sacrifice can afford one of those little birds. They're worth basically nothing. But guess what? God's eye is upon that little bird. Exhibit B, that little lily in the field, that little flower that you stepped on, you didn't even pay it any attention. But if you look carefully at that flower, it is ornate, it is detailed, it is majestic. And guess what? God takes care of the bird. God's hand was upon that lily. How much more will God, come on, take care of you? I know it's scary looking into the future, not knowing what lies around it, but come on, God will take care of you. Hey, I know it's nerve-wracking when you find yourself in the doctor's office and you're waiting for a test result back, but hey, God will take care of you. Come on, I know it's difficult when you see just another like kind of prime candidate who was going to be the person who completed you, kind of just made you feel like kind of special, like kind of like, you know, like the Bella and like LA, kind of like, you know, like Edward and Jacob, everyone's like kind of fighting for you. Kind of, and then that person is now gone now. And is there going to be another one out there? You know, God will take care of you. Come on, I know it's difficult for some of you, some of the young people here who are so upset that now kind of, you know, Britain is out of the like European Union because now you got to get a visa when you want to go visit like kind of Italy and you could just, but no, God will take care of you. Jesus makes it clear. After you refocus on God, you can now rest in his promise that he'll take care of you. Come on, and all these things will be added to you. We try to teach our kids all the time to say their pleases and their thank yous. I like well-mannered kids. You know what I'm saying? I love them to be athletic. I love them to be like, you know, great at their profession. I love all of those things. But above all, I just want them to be polite kids. Okay, so they please and thank you a lot to the point where they just please and thank you for things that really don't need to be pleased or thank you for. You know what I'm saying? Like we'll be sitting at the dinner table and they're just eating their meal. And it's nothing special. You know, like, you know, dad wasn't feeling incredibly creative that day. So we had like some, you know, some party pies. But my boy would just be eating and goes, oh, thank you, dad, so much for the pie. And sometimes in my heart, I kind of want to say to him, you don't really have to say thank you for it. I'm just kind of just being a dad. You know what I'm saying? Like if I slaved over a stove all day long and made like a gorgeous, like, you know, like a polenta with some, like, kind of like some fresh, like, you know, Italian sausage with pork and fennel. Like if I did that, you know, thank you, dad. But if I just kind of give him the bare minimum, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel like I'm worthy of a thanks. But you say, you know what? Thanks, boy, anyway. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm a dad, and that's what dads do. Dads look after their kids. And you got to understand that the God of this universe, like a heavenly father, come on, will look after you. So rest. Come on, so rest. Come on, so rest. Knowing that everything that you need will be added to you. Thirdly and lastly, and then we're done. Refocusing on God. Resting in His promises that He'll take care of you. We also get an opportunity to respond. To respond productively. To respond productively. I love how Jesus finishes off these words. This kind of mini soliloquy there in Matthew chapter 6. He says, all right, so seek first the kingdom of God. You're worried about a whole bunch of things because somehow you've become fixated on that object or that challenge or that pressure or that question mark. And because you're focused in on that, it's now entranced you, and now your joy and your peace is somehow linked to that. Hey, get your eyes away from that and back onto the God of this universe who knows you and loves you and is taking care of you. And you know what you can do after that? You can rest, that He'll take care of you, because there is a precedence. There is birds of the air, there's lilies in the field, there's every breath that you take, there's a sun that shines every now and then. Hey, there is so much that shows us, come on, we can rest in His promises, and all these things, come on, will be added unto you. Because He's not a nonchalant deity. He's not a disconnected God. He's a loving Father. He delights in taking care of you. But also you get to, come on, respond productively. Don't laugh. English is my second language. It is not really. To respond productively. Because He finally says this, okay? So therefore, let tomorrow worry for itself. Today has enough trouble of its own. Now, what's fascinating is that when Jesus first whispered those words 2,000 years ago, the crowd would have immediately jumped to some generic philosophical thinking that would have swirled around the first century. The two main schools of thought that would have marked a lot of thinking back then would have been Epicurean thinking and Stoic thinking. Or in other words, Epicurean thinking says this: hey, life is stressful, so don't get stressed. Eat, drink, and be merry, because basically tomorrow you die. So hey, you know what? Stuff around the corner is outside your control, so just live for today and come what may. Don't worry about stuff down the track. The other side of it is Stoic, which basically says this: life is just going to be difficult around the corner. And at the end of the day, you don't have a lot of say or sway in what's happening. So you just go through life, and all the rubbish that gets piled on you, just smile, because that's what life was meant to be. And here Jesus says, you know what? No. You don't have to respond in that way. You don't have to kind of disconnect from reality and just live for today and not worry about consequences and be Epicurean in lifestyle. He's saying at the same time, hey, you don't need to be like fatalistic in your approach and just be all like kind of down in the doldrums thinking that life is terrible and everything is a burden. No. This is what you get to do. You get to leave what you have in your life that's outside of your control in the hands of the God, come on, who is in control. And you get, come on, to respond and to react to the things that are within your control. In other words, that which is outside of your control, come on, leave it in God's hands. And the things that you can change, things that you have power, come on, to affect, exercise that power. Today has enough trouble of its own. Come on, deal with today. And on this thought, we land. And I've been wrestling with this myself over the last week as I think about a few things in my life that are causing me a little bit of stress and me a little bit of worry. What does that actually look like? How do I acknowledge that there are some things that are just outside of my control, and how do I actually leave that in the hands of God, and how do I react and respond positively in the light of the things that I do have effect over? What does that look like? And that's the question that I would propose to you. What does that look like for your world? Maybe you find yourself in a situation where, you're just having a tough time business-wise. And you're kind of going, hey, where to from here? All right, okay, here we go. There are some things that I can do. There are some things that I can put into place. There are some hard decisions that I can make, and I can take control of this area. But at the same time, there are still some things that are outside of my control. But now I leave that in the hands of God. Come on, from a health point of view, you know what? There are some changes we can make. There are some things we can do. Come on, there are some courses we can pursue. There are some things that we can try to get into order. But at the end of the day, there are some things outside of our control. Come on, and we leave that in the hands of God. Come on, when it comes from a finance point of view, hey, there are some decisions we can make. There are things that we can do. There are some Ferraris that we don't need to make lease payments on anymore. This week, I connected with a buddy of mine I haven't seen for ages at the gym, and I hadn't seen for ages because this guy had been working crazy overtime. The reason he'd been working crazy overtime is because the guy went and bought himself a $499,000 Ferrari, and he's driving that thing around. Now the guy's got a second job, and now he's really stressed out. I mean, he's so stressed out, he can't go to the gym anymore. And I'm kind of saying, bro, can you see? There is something you can do. Now, I'm not saying that, like, you know, God bless you if you can drive yourself a Ferrari, but if there is something practically that you can do, come on, if there is something that you can change that's within your control that can alleviate a situation, come on, control it, change it, alleviate it. But still, there are things, come on, that are outside of your control and into God's hands. You must leave that. I love the way the Apostle Paul puts it in Philippians chapter 4 when he says, hey, don't get so stressed about things, but in everything, with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, come on, just bring it to God. There are some stuff that you can change, but there are other things that you can't change, and when you can't change it, pray, or in other words, talk to God. Do you have someone in your life that when you talk to, come on, things just seem like a little bit better, you know what I'm saying? I know for me, if I'm stressed, if I'm worried, I call my wife Krista, and as soon as I hear her voice, everything seems okay. There are some people, when you talk to them, come on, the fear factor begins to diminish. God's voice is like that. He's saying, you know what? If you're stressed, bring it to me. Talk to me. When you talk to me, the fear begins to diminish. Come on, when you're stressed, bring it to me. Petition me. Because when you talk to God and you get on the same page as heaven, come on, things change. When he's saying, hey, come to me with thanksgiving, he's saying this: you can't be grateful to God and worry at the same time. Those two entities cannot coexist. The practice of one will always cause the death of the other. If you're worrying and worrying and worrying, you'll find it impossible to be grateful in life. But if you show, come on, gratitude and thanksgiving in life, that will destroy the worries in your world. He's saying here, you know what? What you can change, change. What you can't change, bring it to God. Talk to him about it. Present it to him. Be grateful for all the things he's done in the past, and be grateful in advance for the things he will do going into the future. Don't be stressed about anything, but in everything, present your request to God. And the peace of God that transcends understanding, come on, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We live in a world that even if there weren't people around trying to stress you out, it'd be stressful enough. But we find ourselves in the midst of a world where consistently, continually, from every single angle, we're being told that we need to be worried and stressed. We must learn how to process through that, not denying the pressure, but knowing how to respond. And here Jesus simply says, in the midst of the pressure, in the midst of the worry, refocus your attention on him. Rest in his promises. He's good for it. Respond productively. There are worries today that you can deal with, so deal with them. The stuff tomorrow, bring it to him. Talk to him about it. Petition him about it. But make sure it's all marked by gratitude and thanksgiving. Because worry and gratitude can't coexist. You do one, the other is diminished. And the peace of God that transcends understanding will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. Woo, that's a cool little thought, isn't it? So we get to deal practically with worry and to cap it all off as a little bit of a kicker. Jesus stands guard over your heart. I like the thought of Jesus being the bodyguard of my peace. Early this year, actually during New Year's celebrations, Mariah Carey was in town. A lot of you guys would have missed the news. You would have maybe forgotten the news. But Mariah, is she married now to James? Are they together anymore? Is it anymore? Well, James Packer, you know, had a little bit of a thing, a special friend, if you will. And Mariah was in town. And so, you know, all the local paparazzi were very excited about, you know, old Mariah and all the news networks. You can start tinkling in the background. That's beautiful. That's kind of like when you, as soon as you start playing, it's like Jesus comes into the room. You just got to start playing right now. Wait, go. Awesome. You're not on? Okay, you're not on. Okay, turn her on. There you go. Wait. Wait. There he is. Okay, stop. See, he went a win. He went and got his sister. Okay, start again. Okay, there you go. So Mariah's in town, and funny enough, one of the security guard that was kind of put onto her detail, her bodyguard for the week, was actually a member of our church back at City Life. His name's Daryl. And Daryl, I understand why he was employed, because he's like a scary looking dude. Like, he's like a large, like ripped and rock hard African-American man. And like, kind of, so everywhere Mariah was, you'll see Daryl in the background. So all the news stories and kind of, you know, kind of Mariah watch for the week. Daryl was in the background everywhere. But I thought to myself, if they gave me a call for like a job reference before Daryl got the job, he wouldn't have got the job, because Daryl would be a terrible bodyguard, because Daryl's way too kind. And if like someone tried to attack Mariah, Daryl would be more likely to try to witness to him or try to work out what pain happened in his life up to that point that brought him like the gentlest teddy bear. But everywhere Mariah went, Daryl was technically protecting her. And this is the imagery that the Apostle Paul suggests is unfolding. When you find yourself with a heart that's kept by God, with a life that is guarded by Him, with eyes that are focused on Him, with a soul that rests in Him. And even though uncertainty continues to swirl, you respond by doing what you can and praying about what you can't. You find that God doesn't just send one of His buffest angels. God doesn't commission a really nice African-American bodyguard to stand guard over your heart. No, Jesus Himself, come on, guards your heart with peace. And it's my heart's hope and my heart's prayer that someone here tonight would leave with that reality floating their soul. So many things in this world that cause us worry. But if you keep your eyes on God, if you rest in His nature and His faithfulness, come on, if you respond productively, deal with what you can, rest in what you can't, He will guard your heart and your mind. Amen? As I wrap up our time together, and I would love this the opportunity to pray for someone here in this room who's saying, Dan, right now there's something that I'm worrying deeply about. And I'm going to pray that you're going to see a resolution to that situation, that you're going to see provision, that you're going to see a miracle, that you're going to see a breakthrough. But before all of that, I'm going to pray that you would be able to refocus your attention on the God who loves you. That you would find soul rest in the reality of His goodness and His faithfulness. That you'd have the strength to deal with what you can and to rest in what you can't. And that the peace of God, come on, would be guarding someone's heart tonight in Christ Jesus. So with every eye closed and every head bowed and no one looking around, if that's you here tonight and you're saying, Dan, I've got this issue right now and I'm grateful that I came tonight. Tonight was like, you know, like a bit of a pastor's chat, and I just have this worry in my life, but I want these things to be my reality. A refocusing on God, a resting in His faithfulness, and a responding correctly and positively. If that's you here tonight, I would just love to simply pray for you, and then we're done. So with every eye closed and every head bowed and no one looking around, if that's you right now, and you'd love me to pray with you regarding a worry, we just lift your hand high in the sky right now. Just do it right now. Hi, hi, hi. Give me a wave where you are. Wow. Wow. The Bible says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And by lifting your hand, my friend, that was a humble, humble move. Lord Jesus, you see these hands, and I just pray right now that the promise maker would be the promise keeper and that you would pour a fresh measure of grace into their hearts, and they would know that in the midst of their worry, in the midst of their fear, you are near. That you have not left them, you have not forsaken them, that you are with them this very moment. And I pray that worry would not rob them of their joy, that worry would not rob them of their sleep, that worry would not rob them of their relationships, that worry would not rob them of their life. But as they refocus their attention on you, God, who is still in control, as they rest in your faithfulness and your character, as they respond by your grace and your strength, I thank you, God, that you're guiding their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We love you and we trust that you can do so in Jesus' name. And everybody said, come on, and they said, something a little bit different tonight. The Reverend Dr. Jacob will be, the bishop will be coming up in 30 seconds time. But if you lifted your hand, I'm sure that he's going to, have a few comments from here. But if there's something that I can connect with you about, or pray with you about, I'm going to be milling around the front. I would love to connect. If you're sitting out there especially, and over the last 40 minutes, you've heard someone just talk audaciously about a God who loves you and a relationship you can have with Jesus Christ, and it confuses you a little bit, and you want to talk more about having a relationship with God, nothing excites me more. Actually, maybe a bomber win, like kind of Essendon, just win one game. Maybe that will excite me more. But besides that, nothing excites me more than the thought of talking to you a little bit about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. You guys are beautiful. You guys are amazing. Hey, don't worry. It's going to be all right.